This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy. Everyone who loves you, ghetto people, what are you gonna do? Tell me,
do you really think that
the government cares about you?
No, they don't.
Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to? Tell me, people.
with your knife.
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope all is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's too damn hot, it's so damn hot, cactus are dying. I saw it on the news, man. Cactus in Arizona because it's been 100 degrees for the last three weeks. Gee, can't tell me about no global warming. Ain't real. No, brother, it's real. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Yeah. It's going to be a good weekend, family. Yeah. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Our story, every Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., our story with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny out of New Orleans. Thursdays from 8 to 10, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba and the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. If it's Friday, and it is, at 8 p.m. this evening, brothers and sisters, it'll be Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. On Sunday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, from 5 to 6 on Sunday. And Sunday at 7, once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. July 10th. Revolution is not a speed race. It is a race for he who runs to the end of his life. It is not a race for racehorses. It is a race for war horses. Kwame Ture. Warriors are not an accident of birth. We are planned. We just have to see the plan. European science would have us believe there is no plan. They would have us believe that we just happened. They would have us believe that there is no ancestral connection. They would have us believe that we are not even instructions. We're not given instructions. We're not given a mission. Your mission or our personal mission. Before returning to this battlefield. And as long as we believe this idiocy and operate as Negroes and lost souls in a reality where everything white is to be feared and held in awe, and everything of our traditions is to be abhorred and dismissed as backwards
as backward insanity. We will subsist as the living dead, dismissed by our children, the shame of our ancestors, consciously disconnected from spirit through imitation of despiritualized lesser gods. Becoming warriors is not an accident of birth. It is a choice made before birth, realized after. As our names implies, we are here to wage war against our people's enemies, whether in preparation or actual physical fulfillment of the dream. We are warriors in fact. We have no choice. We owe those who battle before us, those who are without defense and hope today, and our reinforcements yet to come. Affirm, I am no accident. I am the ancestors' intent. Ashe. Affirm, I am no accident. I am the ancestors' intent. July 11th. There was never slavery in Kemet, in Kemet society, at the time of the pharaohs. In antiquity, Kemetic women were never dominated by Kemetic men. Lastly, there's never been social classes or struggles between social classes in the Marxist sense of the word, not during the long history of ancient Kemet. The Honorable Dr. Theophilia Obinga, who with Dr. Shekhanta Jop battled those crackers in 1974 at the Cairo Symposium and defeated them, bringing the knowledge. Oh, love it. Any social order requires a division of labor based on ability. And within this division, an order evolves to ensure effective decision-making and delegation of responsibilities. But this does not necessarily imply a hierarchical ranking as it does in the European's mind. And even when there is some accepted degree of hierarchy, the emphasis is on qualitative differences of responsibility based upon ability and mastery, not quantitative ones decided by possessions or ascribed privilege. This is so especially if all concerned recognize that they are working for a common good and that each individual is working at that which is he or she is best suited in accomplishing this good. Specifically outside of Western or European or Arab domination, Africans have never had a hierarchy of oppression. This conceptualization of hierarchy is extremely difficult for the mind raised in an oppressive, invictus, insidious-inducing culture to comprehend because it does not fit any form of reality that they can conceive. Hierarchy without oppressive rankings of people is beyond their capacity to understand. So it only makes sense for them to conclude that the Africans who physically built Kemet were slaves because this is how they build things. Affirm, regardless of my position, I never oppress other Africans. Ashe. Affirm, regardless of my position, I never oppress Africans. July 12th. A person who doesn't realize he or she is lost is not looking for a way home. Mwali Mushajay. This cannot be the only reality because we know of others which thrive before it. We know of times when science was finely tuned divine instrument and not a God-veering weapon wielded by pale predatory politics. There were times when people did not glorify property over life or conspire to murder each other over material possessions. Through deliberate study, we can still vicariously view these ages when rank did not arrogantly define character or license tyranny. When a person's station in life was determined by his or her heart, talents, and desire, and not his or her ascribed privilege or deceit. Though now somewhat clouded, we can remember when good character was inevitable. Not because of its rarity, but because of its presence everywhere we were. So how do we get back to the way we know once governed humanity and without sacrificing the future? How can we be moved, and how can we move African people and then humanity away from defining an abnormal as normal and the normal as abnormal? Is it even possible for mere humans to perform such a Sankofian task? We think so. We know so. But only if we were mere humans are fully reconnected with spirit, and if we remain consistently aware of the nature of the beast that must die if we are to live. Ashe. Affirm, I am not lost because I have found my way back home. Affirm, I am not lost because I have found my way back home. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought. Yes, Baba Barudi, I love it. I love it. Revolutionary thought. We have a special person with us this morning. That is, she is the secretary of the National Black United Front in Buff. And she's going to tell us about the 46th annual convention that is virtual. So we have with us Sister Tasha Brooks. Sister Brooks, good morning.
Peace and love.
You too, my sister. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing fabulous this morning. Thank you for having me on.
Good. Well, we're going to talk about the National Black United Front, its history, and what's going to be happening this weekend, and just give the listening audience a full knowledge of who the National Black United Front is, many of its members, and its beginnings, and so forth and so on, if we're ready to do that. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. Well, the convention is held in July. I know I was a member of the National Black United Front. In fact, I was our president in Milwaukee back in the mid to late 90s and into the early 2000s. Yeah. And that's when Conrad Wuerl was the president. But I just met so many beautiful men and women in the history of MBUF, you know, places that conferences and conventions I went to, and it was just inspiring, you know. And a few of the people are still hanging on. I know Reverend Daughtry. Reverend Daughtry's hanging on, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Ashe.
Still active, still out there, yes, doing the work.
Yes, outstanding, man. Yes, sir. I know it doesn't have as many chapters as it once had. I know Milwaukee had a chapter when I was there, and a few other places, but it's still hanging on. I think the two strongest chapters, if I can say that, are Kansas City and Houston. I don't know about Chicago's chapter. That, yes, obviously had been strong since Conrad was there for many years. But I know Kansas City MBUF has done great things for the city of Kansas City. And, in fact, I remember
I hail from Kansas City.
You do? Oh, okay. So you remember when they had the school, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, that was beautiful. And I remember what happened. I talked with Brother Jamu, you know, before he went to back home to Africa. Where's he at now? Is he in Ghana?
He's
in Ghana. Okay, outstanding, beautiful, and his wife. And he told me what went down. And, you know, Brother Jamu, whose integrity is beyond reproach, he is just a beautiful brother, intelligent brother, straight up. And he told me what happened.
Absolutely.
You know, what Molefe Asante did. And there's a number of people who don't like Molefe Kete Asante, you know, for stuff that he's done, you know. And he told me what happened. And man, in fact, the person they put into the school board in Kansas City to end the program of what MBUF had done was a superintendent here in the Atlanta area. I didn't get a chance to confront him, but boy, I wanted to. I wanted to go to a public meeting and bust his ass out. You know, I really did. Because, you know. But so talk to us about the 46th convention. Is it is all virtual, right? Or is there going to be, and where is it? And if it is, where is it going to be?
Yes, so we have decided this year that the 46th annual convention will be all virtual.
Okay.
And like you had previously mentioned, MBUF does have a few chapters still remaining, but there's still many of us who are members at large around the country.
Yes.
I am from the Kansas City chapter, and I relocated to South Florida. And myself and another sister, Jennifer Massey, we are building a South Florida chapter here. We have still members in Lansing, of course, Houston, members in D.C., members in Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and, of course, a few other places where we are trying to build. But no matter what, we have people all over the country who still, you know, determined to, you know, be about our people. So we decided we wanted it to be virtual this year to allow all of us to participate. We know what's going on in today's economic climate. We didn't want to put a burden on anyone to sit in the same space with us. So we wanted you to be able to, for the comfort of your homes or your organizations, your communities, to be able to engage with us virtually as we discuss some issues that are pertinent to us. So on Saturday, July 12th, we will have a virtual session. That'll be 10 a.m. Central Time, called the Rules of Engagement. It's the African Black Community, AI, and social media. How can we use all of these to our advantages for the purpose of advancing our people? We don't want to be behind the ball. We don't want to have to play catch up. We want to be able to use these apparatuses, you know, like social media and AI, to help us advance. You know, and then how do we do that in our communities? We already know that we are some of the most educated people out there. We already know that we are definitely can get organized and engaged. So how can we do that for these purposes? And then on Sunday, we are having a virtual panel, and that will be at 1 p.m. Central Time, where our Black youth are going to come together and talk about not only how they have gotten involved, but how others, their ages, whether it's school age, post-education age, young 20s, we are talking youth, how they can get engaged. But it's not just for the youth, it's for all of us. We all need to hear the discussion about how we can stay connected, how we can engage one another, motivate one another, and support one another in this struggle to, you know, continue to advance ourselves. So I'm excited to, one, still be participating in MBUF activities. Like you said, you were involved in MBUF some years ago. You and I had not had the pleasure of meeting yet. So thank you so much for having me on. I've been involved for about, about 13 years or so.
Okay.
And you're right. There's so many amazing individuals that I've met in this journey.
Yes.
I came up under Baba Jamu, and he was my mentor.
Yes.
And we were able to accomplish so much in Kansas City. And I'm hoping to take that, what I've learned, some of the blueprints that I've learned from him, Baba Mickey, Baba Leon Dixon, Baba Conrad, be able to take those blueprints that they, that knowledge that they've instilled in me and continue to build upon that.
Yes, no, most definitely. You've had some great examples, some brothers and sisters, you know, involved in
can't forget the mamas. Yes.
Yeah, always. We need them. That's that symbiotic relationship that we have as men and women, you know. And I know in reading the history of MBUF, there were some issues way back, but I'm quite sure those issues, I mean, I'm talking about way back in its formation in the 80s, and But we know we need each other, and we need the youth. That's why, you know, everything that MBUF should do and any other black or American African or African organization should do is be intergenerational, you know, because we need each other. We need the youth.
Absolutely.
We need the youth because they're the spirit of the battle. Many of us can't physically go out there and do it, but they can, you know. But they need the instruction that those of us who have been in this battle for some time, the wisdom supposedly we should have, to impart that to them so they can make that battle just and make it strong for us, you know. Because we are in a war for the minds of our people. And if we don't come away from this justly, who knows? I don't know, and I hate to think, because, I mean, I have some grandchildren, and I want them to have a future. But I want them to have a future not consistently begging Caucasians and, you know, for a job, or can I live here, can I have peace, and so forth. Because we know, we see what's happening now with these Caucasians. This is crazy. They have been emboldened by Trump. They're just very arrogant and just out there. I've seen some stuff on Facebook, but that's not new. None of this stuff is new. It's just that,
right?
You know, so if we are to do something, we must do it. We must do it for ourselves, and we can't look to anybody outside of us. We got to do it for ourselves. And so that's why I applaud National Black United Front for its continuous efforts over these many years. This is the 46th annual conference. Right on. Yeah. And I'm hoping that you get a good turnout, and I'm going to, you know, hopefully that there's listeners now who are going to plan to register. Because all you got to do is register for it, and it's easy, you know.
Yes.
It is. Well, in fact, we'll talk about that a couple of times, but let's talk about that now. How do you register for this convention, this 46th annual convention of the National Black United Front, for Saturday and Sunday?
Like you said, it's very easy. All you have to do is go to nbuf.net. Right there, as soon as it comes up, you'll see both events where you're able to click the link under each event and register. Once you register, it'll send you a personalized event or a personalized Zoom link to join the discussion. So, you know, very easy for you to do. If you are on your phones, you're able to scan the QR code to register. So we've made it as easy as possible for whatever your technology level is.
So there's no excuse, brothers and sisters. There's no excuse. So, hey, please do, and please join the National Black United Front on Saturday from 10 a.m. until it ends. Who knows? May end in the afternoon.
It's an hour and a half.
On Saturday?
It's an hour and a half for the discussion on Saturday. Yes, and an hour and a half on Sunday.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I thought we were going to be okay. Okay. Well, I'm in.
Yeah. I'm excuses to join the discussion.
That's right. That's right. They ain't going to keep you all day.
The whole day.
That's right. And the information is vital, and it's important, and it's pertinent. So please, brothers and sisters, make that registration from 10 o'clock to 11:30, or maybe 12 at the latest. And then on Sunday from 1 to maybe 2:30, to maybe 3 at the latest. But it can be done, it should be done, and we should do it. Yes.
Yeah.
Right on. That's cool. Yeah. Looking at what Brother Mickey Dean sent me in terms of the in terms of the flyers, you know, the one, of course, with the announcement of the convention, but then there's the one with the rules of engagement with Sister Henderson and Brother Muhammad and Kwanzaa, who's the moderator, Hardy.
Yes, Brother Chair of the Kansas City chapter is Jawanza Hardy.
Right on. Okay. And so who are the three presenters again?
So the presenters for our Rules of Engagement discussion on Saturday are Sister LaShonda Henderson, Brother Abdul Kayim Muhammad, mm-hmm. and Sister Kelly Balu McMillan.
Sister McMillan, okay.
And Brother Jawanza is our moderator.
Good. I'm quite sure. Hopefully it will be a very thought-provoking discussion, and a lot of brothers and sisters who are on the call can respond, correct?
Yes. So the we will have a question and answer session mm-hmm. where you can engage with us.
Good. Yeah. And then, of course, then on Sunday, the youth speak.
Oh, yeah. And these are some phenomenal youth. I've had the pleasure of the four see grow up in our community. Brother Adai Mazimoyo out of Houston. Sister Malaysia Massey. She's down here with me now.
Oh, she's in Florida?
Florida.
Okay.
Yes, that's Sister Jennifer Massey's daughter. But they they built in D.C. So many people may remember her from D.C.,
okay.
Sister Madison Lyman from Kansas City, and Brother Colomo Yao. And I believe Brother Colomo is out of Houston as well. But he may be out of Atlanta. I'm not quite certain where he is now.
Okay.
So, but yes, these are still some phenomenal young people who have been active since toddlers.
Right on. They grew up. That's right. They grew up in them.
Grew up in the movement.
Yeah, that's outstanding, and that's what we need. And we need young people to touch other young people. The African-centered movement is, I know I'm over 70, so I've been here a while, and I've seen the ups and downs of our movement. I've seen where, you know, because, you know, the decade that you were born in, it's the next decade that you grow up. So I grew up in the 60s, you know. And I remember the early 60s when we still had processed hair. But then that began to change. And James Brown took the process out of his hair and said, "Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud." And, and then we begin to, you know, gravitate. I gravitated to the philosophy of Malcolm. I was radical. You know, I didn't believe that, and unfortunately, what I believed in terms of Malcolm is more true today than it was back in the 60s when he was preaching it, when he was talking about it, because many of us believe that we could somehow make these Caucasians respect our humanity. You know, we went for the illusion of inclusion, you know, with affirmative action, you know, and so forth, because the 70s tripped us out. We were very radical in the late 60s, you know, the Black Panther Party and the Republic of New Africa, National Black United Front. But, you know, the 70s, with affirmative action and so forth, that... that thought, many of us believe that somehow this is just as much ours as it is theirs, and we can make them we can make them respect us as a people, respect our humanity, and we can make them promote us and hire us and promote us and let them be a part of, you know. And now, as you see, that ain't happening. You have in this White House the most reactionary. This is the most overt racist. I don't know Woodrow Wilson, how that was, Calvin Coolidge, how that was, but I read about them. They were bad, you know, because the only one I remember is Eisenhower coming up, Eisenhower going forward. And of course the idea of Kennedy, that Kennedy was somehow very liberal and, you know, not really, but hey, all of them had to be forced to do what they did. You know, and so now is the time for us to really understand this fight is not here. This fight is global for African. We must embrace and pray for the safety of Ibrahim Traoré and the Sahel. We must pray that other African organizations look at that as the model and get rid of these old dudes who've been taking all the wealth, just like this, what happened. I don't know if you know, I'm quite sure you probably do, that that the United States brokered a deal with the Democratic Republic of Congo, along with Rwanda, for some safety and access to all that mineral wealth in the Congo. I'm sickened I'm sickened by it, you know. And that Paul Kagame, who some have hailed because of the turnaround in Rwanda, the place is immaculate, clean, and nice city, but he's a snake. He's a damn snake. So we got issues and problems, and the more that we understand them and confront them, because we all got to get on the same page. Because the real key for us is the National Black United Front and any other nationalist organization is sovereignty, independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. That's it. There ain't no other discussion. That's the model of this program is independence, self-determination. Well, the model, of course, is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die, you know. And to me, there is no other way. And I know MBUF is in that fight and will be in that fight till the end. And I know there's other organizations. I know there's other organizations as well. I think the real key for us is that all these organizations come together and to support one another to lay down a true united front. A true united front. So the European, the cracker, can't manipulate one or the other. You know, it's just like recently, I don't know, they talked about the boycott because of Target when it went with the Trump and dismantling the DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion program that Target had. And so they said, we're going to boycott Target. Well, the National Baptist Convention came in and accepted, what was it, $50,000 or some shit like that?
I think it was... amount it was, it wasn't worth it.
That's the point. Yes, you're right. It was terrible. It was disgusting that they did that. And they need to definitely be called out on that and shamed for doing it. You know. So our collective effort to do things in a way that would benefit the most people is ongoing. And that's what we got to do. And that's why it's important that we be on that call tomorrow and Sunday. And it's not a long time, brothers and sisters. It's not a long time, from 10 to 12:30, maybe 1 at the most. You know, 10 to 12, because it's, 2 hours, right? Hour and a half, 2 hours. Yeah.
Correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. So,
we get good in the conversation. We might go 2 hours.
Yeah,
but it is an hour and a half.
Right.
You know how we could be.
yeah. Well, you know, some of us start pontificating. Let's keep it straight ahead. Let's make sure that we hit all the points and some things that we are going to do, as brothers and sisters and as youth, to deal with these issues. Because, you know, tomorrow's not promised. You know, and at times many people have said that our situation doesn't look good. I'm optimistic, even though many things that I've said has been, you know, kind of been taken as problematic or pessimistic, but I'm not. I'm optimistic. But you gotta talk about why and how these things have happened, you know, because they didn't happen in a vacuum. They were happened with intent. And so we need to understand them and obviously work to change it. And so therefore, that's why it's important that we come together and we know these things. Yeah. So how long, you said you've been in within above 17 years?
It's been 13 years.
Oh, 13 years.
It seems like a lot longer, but yeah. it has been 13 years.
Okay.
I've seen a lot. Yeah. Not as much as, you know, those who I come up under, but mm-hmm. in that 13, I've learned a lot. It has allowed me to build a lot of character as well. So,
sure, it will. I agree, because, I mean, for me, I was in MBUF. Can't remember the total years, but I know that I've been here in Atlanta since 2014. And I didn't remember anybody, meet anybody here in Atlanta. You must have some individual members here. Because I know Atlanta did not have a chapter of MBUF.
Yeah, just individuals at large.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, but
we have always for people to get engaged, you know, so, you know, and that's one thing that, like you said, you know, no matter what organization you're with, or whether you're an individual, you know, you got to get involved and you got to get engaged on the common goal for our people. Like you said, whether it's Pan-Africanism, whether it's liberation, mm-hmm. whether it's repatriation, whatever it is, you got to get involved and get engaged. And yeah. MBUF has always been that organization, as you know, who's had open doors to that thought and theory.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. They've always been a strong organization nationally in terms of advocating on the issues of African, you know, particularly the reparations issue. In fact, I was in the planning of the Million More, because coming off the Million Man March, the Million More for Reparations. I can't remember the exact year we went to D.C., Million More for Reparations. And one of the people who was involved in that discussion was Ken Bridges. Ken mm-hmm. Bridges, who had the Matai Network. He was involved. And meeting him and working with him was just an honor and a pleasure. What a beautiful man, you know. And I come to a meeting in Kansas City, and Brother Leon Dixon told me that Ken had been assassinated. He had been killed by the D.C. sniper, by the D.C. sniper. It was just, man, heart-wrenching. It really was. That this
yeah,
man,
I remember that.
Yeah, that was real tough. In fact, it was also the same time. So that's 2010. That was 2010 because it was the same time. Around the same time, they had the earthquake in Haiti. Yeah, the earthquake in Haiti. So, yeah. And talking with a sister who was involved in it, and she eventually passed on. I forgot the sister's name. So, but yeah, Ken Bridges. And now I'm a retired firefighter, and I was also involved with the Black Firefighters Organization. And we had Brother Ken Bridges come to L.A. and talk with the organization about the Matai Network and organizing and so forth and so on. It was great. It was great just to work with that brother. It really was. Yeah. And, you know, in the reparations movement, you know, it's been up and down. I just firmly believe that, let me see here. I just firmly believe it's going to be very difficult for us. Oh, Brother Mickey Dean sent me a contact. Oh, yeah, well, Molly, yeah. Molly Davis. That is Conrad's godson, Brother Molly.
Oh,
yeah, Molly.
Yes.
Molly Davis, Attorney Molly Davis. Very, very good brother, doing great things here in the Atlanta area. Started this program for doing something with our youth, being for us as older people, being Jegnas or Jegnas to our youth. It's called the Black Men's Lab. Black Men's Lab every Monday and Tuesday, because he has one at this brother's establishment, which is the Black Dot Cultural Center and bookstore, Black Dot Bookstore and Cultural Center and Coffee Bar in Lithonia, which is east of here in Atlanta. And so Monday and Tuesday, they have Black Men's Lab, which, of course, was created by Molly Davis. Yes. Thanks, Brother Mickey. Appreciate you, dear brother. Thank you so much. And, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, you know, we may not have organization, but we have good connected people. You know, we have good connected people in various places. You know, I remember some of the old guys that, like G2 Iwusi, and, you know, Seydou, you know. Some of the old guys that when I first came on, first was in the Black United Front, and just inspirational people, you know. And, of course, Conrad. I love Conrad. I really did. Had a lot of fun with him.
Gotta love him.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
And then, of course, I will be remiss if I did not mention our current chair, Brother Kofi Taharka.
Oh, no doubt.
Out of
oh,
Houston.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
So.
Definitely. Give a strong black hand.
Yes.
Yeah, give him a strong black hand. Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just saying, you know, like you said, some amazing people, and I had amazing honor of getting that knowledge from them. The knowledge and the history, not and the experience, and that's it. And one of the things I wanted to get out about this weekend, a lot of things that have happened to us were not that long ago. So we can't forget how we were treated. So, you know, back then, whether it was the 50s and 60s, and it's coming full circle back now under Trump.
Right.
And so when we start talking about rules of engagement or how to get engaged, we have a blueprint of how things can be done and be successful in getting them done. Is it that we've forgotten? Is it that we don't have those leaders that's now? The discussion that we need to have now is how do we get it done? Because we have everything that we need, and the pieces that we don't have, who can step up to fill that void so that we can have it?
I agree, and they need to step to the fore. You know, we need brothers and sisters stepping up and helping up, help to bring up. You know, this rise will not happen unless we make it happen. It won't happen by osmosis. It won't happen because of benevolence of Caucasians, because they ain't. It'll happen because we finally realize we got to organize. We got to organize and be serious and committed to organization. And we got to have timetables. Things need to be done in a sequential order. I'm amazed at what Brother Ibrahim Traoré has been able to do in Burkina Faso in such a short amount of time. You know, he said, this is what we're going to do. And they're doing it. And they're doing it. And in other parts, in Mali and Niger, they're doing it. Ghana's coming on board. Senegal, hopefully, is coming on board. It would be great if Nigeria came on board. All of these countries in Africa, and not just in so-called sub-Saharan, because all of Africa is ours. So we're talking about those places where Arabs are, or those who call themselves that. And even Chad. I remember reading about Chad, and I can't remember the brother's name right now, who was the leader of Chad, who did not believe that he was African because he wanted to be Arab so damn bad. It's just like Anwar Sadat. Anwar Sadat got angry because in a biopic, Lou Gossett played him. I guess he wanted Omar Sharif or some Caucasian-looking person to play him, because Anwar Sadat was not that. And you know, but the issue of color confrontation is still very viable today, as it was decades ago, you know, where many of us still feel that being closer to the Caucasian is what's preferred.
Yes, it's preferred because they're the dominant society here wants it to be, because the dominant society here is Caucasian. You know, they've always denigrated and degraded African people in color. So that's what I'm saying. Our fight is not to include ourselves in this or to find ways to be comfortable in this. Our fight is to liberate ourselves, to get up out of here, to go home, and to build futures for our children and our children's children and so forth. You know, that's what it's about. That's why I feel that the National Black United Front and all organizations that are Pan-African come together and begin to show that kind of unified front and to put things in order and to give timelines to things to be done in a way. Because I'm quite sure that's what happened in Burkina Faso. In all the things that I've seen, unless somebody is putting shit on Facebook that is false, and I don't believe it. And I mean, I know it can be done, you know, because I know from one, they said that Brother Ibrahim Traore doesn't really speak English. But of course, if you, when you go on Facebook and you hear him talk, and his voice is always the same, but he only speaks French, you know. So let's be real. But, you know, how they're wording him is something that I think is on point, you know, the things they said, because the bottom line, things are being done. And that's what's most important, my sister, that things are being done. It's not what you say, it's what you do. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a break. We got some, try to get some callers on here. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And we're talking with Sister Tasha Brooks. Are you from Kansas City?
I am. I was born and raised in Kansas City.
Oh, right on. Okay. They're from the Kansas City chapter, who now resides in Florida. Like me, I'm president of the Milwaukee chapter, now residing here in Atlanta, but like I said, I appreciate that, Brother Mickey Dean, because I know Brother Molly Davis. And in fact, I knew that because I'd known that he had been to a number of MBUF conferences and so forth. So, yes. So we're going to take a break, sister. When we come back from the break, we'll open up the phone lines, and you can also talk about the prospects for the future of you know, MBUF.
And all right.
Okay. All right, dear sister.
All right.
All right. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. A spirit in the dark. That spirit that we need, a spirit in the dark. Herbie Mann along with Dwayne Allman. Man, they've been cooking. A spirit in the dark. All right, we're getting back to the discussion with my guest from the national secretary of the National Black United Front. And that's Sister Tasha, Miss Tasha Brooks, from Kansas City, but now living in South Florida. Good afternoon, my sister.
Good afternoon.
All right, you with me?
Right. Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Also, too, brothers and sisters, give us a call. Join this conversation. We're talking about the National Black United Front's 46th annual convention that is going to be virtual, so you can easily participate in the convention. And Ms. Brooks can tell you how easy it is. You know, I have here that what Brother Mickey Dean sent me, you know, and it's very easy to get on the National Black United Front. The website, the Rules of Engagement on tomorrow, and Black Youth Speak on Sunday, you know. So those links are there, and then once you get there, just put your name in, email address, bam, you're good to go. And so tomorrow, it begins Saturday the 12th. It begins at 10 a.m. Well, I'm going to let you go ahead and talk about what's happening tomorrow and on Sunday, the time frames and how long they are.
All right. Yes, Saturday. We are meeting at 10 a.m. Central Time. Again, like Brother Osha said, it is virtual. Very easy for you to sign up and register for any one of our events by going to inbuff.net, clicking on the link. Super simple. Just enter your name and your email address, and you will be able to attend. Tomorrow's discussion is rules of engagement, how we as a Black community can come together, how we can utilize AI and social media organization to our advantage, so that we are not behind the curve, so that we are advancing, and that we can all, you know, profit from it together as a community. In addition, on Sunday, we will be speaking with our, let me back up one moment, because I will be wrong if I didn't tell you who our dynamic speakers will be for Saturday's discussion.
Yes, thank you. Okay, and the convener.
We will have Sister LaShonda C. Henderson, Brother Abdul Kaim Muhammad, and Sister Kelly Balu McMillan. Each one of these speakers are dynamic in their field, in their profession, in their business that they have. They have a lot to bring to the table, information for us to soak in. And our moderator for Saturday's discussion is the chairman of the Kansas City chapter of the National Black United Front, Brother Jawanza Hardy. And so it's going to be a dynamic discussion, engaging. You'll have an opportunity to engage them with your questions, to seek the information that they have during that time frame. Like we said, we are not taking all day for a discussion. So, you know, take a couple hours out of your Saturday. Join us at 10 a.m. Central Time Saturday morning for this discussion. And then on Sunday, if you will join us in the afternoon for an engaging discussion with our youth. We all know that if you can engage the youth, you got it. That's how I feel. That's how I always feel. If you can engage the youth, they have that momentum. They have that stamina. We have some amazing youth who will be presenting to us, who will be part of the discussion. Brother Ade Mazamoyo, Sister Malaysia Massey, Sister Madison Lyman, and Brother Colomo Yao. these young folks are from every walk of life, but they have been engaged in community. We want to talk about how we can get our youth not only engaged, but involved and in building. What motivates them? What keeps them going? Bridging that gap between young people and older people and elders, because I'm in that older people.
and I'm in that elder people.
Yeah. But we all need to work together. And what better way than hear it from them? I cannot just guess what they need. We need to be able to hear it from them. And as well, it is a question and answer session for that as well. So you would be able to engage with the youth. I also encourage you, if you have youth, please have them log in and hear the conversation as well. Whether they're working in a community, they aspire to work in a community, or they're not working. How can we engage each other and get involved in each other? So these are, and I will be the moderator for this this session on Sunday. Sister Tashia Brooks out of South Florida. And so, we have two very, very dynamic discussions, but very important discussions. I don't want anyone to overlook the importance of the need to have these discussions right now in a space to where so many people are feeling like they're individuals, or they feel like they don't belong, or whatever is happening to them is only in their own particular, whether it's their particular community, their particular city, wherever you are, you're not alone. There's so much experience, not only in the National Black United Front, but one of the reasons why we wanted to have it virtual is so that we all can engage in it. So no matter where you are, go ahead, register, join us for the discussions, and let's get to work.
Ashe, family, you've heard it. Heard of our dear sister, the National Secretary of the National Black United Front, who's moderating the youth segment on Sunday, talking about the amount of work that needs to be done. And she's so correct. And you know it too, family. You know it too. And we need to network, talk to other brothers and sisters, particularly young people, about getting involved. I remember one of the things that were very instrumental in the success of the early movements of the so-called civil rights movement was the young people. And the young people put themselves on the line. It was young people that would hit with those fire hoses. There were young people who were bricks and rocks thrown at them and so forth. I remember in Milwaukee going on the open housing march. Because Milwaukee being one of the most segregated cities in this country with defined lines of segregation. One of them was a viaduct that separated North and South. And we were going to go across the viaduct to the South side. We lived on the near North side, and we didn't live on the South side. White folks live on the South side, and they wanted to keep it like that. Even the chief of police made mention. In fact, the chief of police was on a par with Bull Connor. You heard of Bull Connor, right? It was the police chief.
I have not, but I'm going to find out now.
Yeah, Bull Connor was the police chief of Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah, you need to look him up. What a racist asshole. Well, the chief of Milwaukee was Harold Breyer, and he was in that same vein. And so we marched across there, and we were met with bricks and bottles and so forth and so on, And of course, they didn't want you to throw back and fight back, but damn, I picked up, my aim is not good, but I threw it. And then we went back across the viaduct, and then they had the big open housing march some days later on the main street in downtown Milwaukee. Wisconsin Avenue, and even though things were signed, so forth, but still, today, Milwaukee's one of the most segregated cities in this country, but that's how it is. So we need the youth to come out. We need the youth on this call and to begin to get organized, and we need the elders or the older people, like you said yourself, to help organize them, and the elders to give that counsel.
to give information, to be there for a voice. You know, we're not going to do this by ourselves. No entity. It is a collective effort. That's one thing about us as African people. We have all been a collective people. Individualism, you know, is a European Caucasian desire. But collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must, you know. And so we need to do that. We need to be that. Yeah.
And I love how you opened up, you know, you said you do it and because those who came before you. And like you said, we can't do anything on our own.
Right.
You know, it takes a village. But we also, it took those before us, you know, so that we can be able to do what we're doing today, whether you're organizing, you are having liberating shows like this, or whatever type of work that you're doing, understand that it was our ancestors who paid the price.
Right.
So the work that I'm doing now is just a little bit of what they went through, and I should have no problem getting it done.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Because, I mean, we truly do stand on the shoulders of giants. You know, of those who came before us. And as an African collective people, and we understand the importance of honoring and respecting our ancestors and looking at our ancestors. You know, some of us are, because of our captivity, are ashamed of what happened to us. You know, we're embarrassed by it and we want to get furthest away from it, not understanding that sometimes we had to capitulate because otherwise your ass be dead. You know, so we had to just chill out for the time to be right. But, you know, I always say that we were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that commits its will to a master. We never submitted. We fought. We fought on the continent, in those coffer lines. We fought on while we were in those holding pens, in those dungeons that, you know, it bothers me when I've been to Africa a few times and, you know, to hear the person who's running the tour at the dungeon calling it a castle, the slave castles of Elimina, the slave castles of Cape Cod. These are no damn castles. They dungeons, you know? When you hear the word castle, what do you think of? And what do they say a castle is? A man's home is his castle. These ain't castles. These are dungeons, despicable, horrifying dungeons. And so, you know, we need the correct terminology, the correct verbiage. We need to move ahead in our quest to be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. Because it's the only way, you know. And of course, the National Black United Front has been in the forefront of trying to make that happen. I remember they were definitely in the forefront of the reparations movement, along with NCOBRA, the National Coalitions for Blacks for Reparations in America. You know, and I knew early on that was going to be a tough thing to get reparations from these folks. You know, I knew it. You know, because obviously, if we truly got reparations from these people and we used it correctly, you know, we would be, as a people in this country, you know, on a par. Because if we use it correctly, I mean by pulling the resources. Many people thought, I'm going to get reparations and you have a check. And that's why this was a Caucasian named Charles Cutheimer, who was a columnist. And he wrote a column many years ago, back in the 70s, talking about we should give them reparations. We gave them affirmative action. We gave them welfare. We should give them reparations, you know, because they will right away, you know, spend that money. There'll be all kind of sales, you know, all kind of sales to get that money back. That money will be returned to us. It'll be like a stimulus, be like the stimulus package that they put together when Bush was president, just to stimulate the economy. The same thing, you know, because we wouldn't work together to pull that money together to build independent schools, to build businesses. You know, we wouldn't do that. You know, I beg to differ, but But the reality is they weren't going to do it. And so, but if they did, and that's what happened, then their whole line is, now shut up. Don't say another damn word. I was discriminated against you, and the onus on you to prove that I discriminated on you would be somebody to corroborate it or suffer. You know, there's no more class actions. Any more class actions. We gave you welfare. We gave you affirmative action. We gave you reparations. Now shut up and take it. You know, because they're not, even though if they would have done that, they were not going to release the ability for us to compete evenly, equitably, fairly, because that's not them. That's not who they are. They're some evil ass people. You know, mm-hmm. There's some lying, evil-ass people. I got a caller. We'll take a call here, Brother Ted Lusk. Good afternoon, Brother Lusk. How are you? Brother Lusk, are you there? Okay, I'll close you back down. And when you're ready, you know what to do. Hit star twice, and you can join the conversation. Yeah, you know, I wish there were more folks who are calling in. Usually it is, but of course, that's their prerogative, you know. Yeah, that's their prerogative. And I know MBUF has collaborated with many other organizations, you know, on the Millions for Reparations. They collaborated with the December 12th movement, to the number of the organizations that were involved. Brother Lusk, are you there?
Can you hear me, Bob Oshie?
I sure can. Go ahead, dear brother.
Thank you so very much for taking my call. What is your sister guest's name?
Tasha Brooks.
Tashia Brooks.
Tashia Brooks.
Hey, Brooks, it's a pleasure listening to you. I'm Teddy. I'm calling from Montgomery, Alabama, number one. Number two, wow, would love to be in this conversation on tomorrow. So my question to you, Sister Brooks, is will there be a rebroadcasting at all?
That's a good question. I would maybe look into that.
Okay.
I don't think we planned ahead for that, but I will definitely look into that now.
Okay. Well, on tomorrow here in Montgomery, we'll be honoring our ancestors through our Ma'afa commemoration that exact same time.
It's going to be the same time.
I'm like, wow. I'm sorry?
It's going to be the same time because...
At the same time. But that's all right. That's all right. But there's at least the 1 o'clock viewing on Sunday, because what I'm interested in is where I am in my life and stage, et cetera. How do I need to be able to adjust myself accordingly to try to understand the youth at all, right?
Yes.
And vice versa. What do they need to do, and what kind of messages that they'll pick up from me? And so Sunday, even though I'm maybe missing Saturday, Sunday will just be as good as the Saturday event to see, because for me, I think it's about a replication. At what point do we need to be able to replicate ourselves for the energies like the National Black United Front to replicate itself and to continue, right? What happens when we're long gone at all? And yeah, they may be pouring libations in our honor, but is the work still being done? Thank you so very much for sharing, and I'm glad I have tuned in. And just want you to know you have a supporter, and Baba Oshie, as always, is always a pleasure to listen and learn. Thank you for picking my call.
All right, Brother Love. Thank you so much, dear brother. Peace to you.
Sante. Peace.
Yeah. Yes, a good brother. He's always listening. And I appreciate him. He contributes to the program. A number of others, unfortunately, they're not on today, but it's all good. It's all okay. And for those who are, hopefully that you'll get some response to what we're saying to connect other youth for this program. Go online. Once again, sister, tell them, how can they access the online to register?
You can access it. You can register online at mbuff.net. It's real easy. It's a big bright red button there. You can click the link to register for either or both of the events this weekend. If you catch us on social media, we do have the MBUF Treasure Coast as well as the Kansas City chapters and Houston chapters that have the flyers. And once you register, you can also opt in to receive the information that we receive or that we have going on in the community as well, so that you can stay up to date on what MBUF is doing and what we're engaging in, what other organizations we're engaging in, and activities throughout the country.
I say, I say.
We will not spam you, so I promise you that.
All right. Yeah. I noticed that the MBUF headquarters in Houston, I was there many years ago when they got the building and all the things that needed to be done, you know, in terms of repair, because it definitely needed a lot of repair at that time. But
it is different now.
Oh, I know that it is. Very different, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, it did have a fire, unfortunately. But, you know, we come through the fire stronger, always.
Ashe.
And so they've been able to rebuild and restore that building that's there. It is a beautiful building. That is there in Houston. They still have the garden that's there, I believe, the community garden. And so, if you know, the Black House is what they call it.
The Black House, right on.
And it truly is the Black House.
Yeah.
And it with their hands, they were able to rebuild that to be something beautiful.
That's outstanding. Yeah. National Black United Front, save the people, the Black House. Yeah. And I know that a lot of organizations don't have the wherewithal to do that, and they may meet in someone's home or may meet in some public place that they could secure for meeting. Wherever it is that you have to meet. Wherever it is. And to begin to organize and strategize and to talk about what you want to do and how you're going to do it. And then the people who have raised their hands or who have been appointed to do it, please do it. And do it in a manner and in respect that is timely, so we can continue to move this situation that we're in forward, you know. And I know I see some good people here, like Brother Mickey Dean and his wife, Sandra. Yeah, good people.
Mama Sandra is a jewel.
She is. Is she still a treasurer?
I love. She is not the treasurer of the national organization.
Okay.
And she probably, like you say, you know, you become an elder, but there's always work to do. She's definitely a magnificent advisor.
Okay, right on. That's what you should be. Yeah, she's an advisor. Yeah.
And that's one thing for certain, no matter what role or where you at in a movement, there's always a role for you to play, you know.
Yes.
So, you know, our elders should be our advisors, our mentors, our any ages.
Mm-hmm.
And we all got work to do, you know, no matter what our role is. And so that's one thing that I admire about those who I've come up under in the National Black United Front is they've been able to not only teach me how it's done, show me firsthand, advise me along the way, and be able to mentor me so that, you know, we can pass that on. And like you said, when I'm gone, what happens? And like the brother said, when we're gone, when they're pouring libations in our name, we want to be certain that the National Black United Front carries on in this mission of organizing and liberating our people.
Is Brother Salim still involved? I know he's in D.C. He's a council person in D.C.
Yes, he is. I think he's running for a different government office.
Oh, is that right? Okay, right on.
But he is not. Brother Salim has moved on. That's my brother.
Yeah.
And, you know, I support him in his political endeavors. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I believe he's running for a different position this year. So,
good.
You know,
I
much
hope
love
successful.
And success to him. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I'll be successful. So, like I said, I enjoyed my time within the National Black United Front and many of the people that I've met. And places I've been and went to, and you know, I always felt inspired, and always felt connected with our people through the National Black United Front, and what the organization was about, and we had some very good conventions, the ones I attended over that period of time, you know, went to. We used to meet at Shape, right? Remember, we used to had a few conventions at Shape. That
at the Shape Center in Houston.
Yeah, the Shape Center. Yeah, yeah. I remember.
Bubba
that.
Oshie.
Yes.
Bubba Oshie and Sister Brooks. Real quick, you mentioned Houston, and I don't know if I may have heard or not in the time that I've been on. How is Brother Deloy Parker doing?
You know, I'm not in Houston, so I'm not quite certain. But I can definitely check so that we can get a report back through Brother Oshie.
Okay, yeah, please do that. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with the brother.
Okay, Brother Parker is I've been catching him, especially around Kwanzaa.
Okay,
he had a lot of videotapes, and he's out of Houston, Texas, and. There was a fire at his facility. Deloy Parker is his name, and I can't quite remember or recall the name of the organization that he's with. But I'll just give him a buzz anyway, since the city of
Houston. I believe it was the Shape Center that had the fire.
Oh, the Shape Center had the fire. Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes, they also had one. So yeah, we'll check as well. But
okay,
if you,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Make certain everyone knows.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I was impressed with the Shape Center, the building, nice building, good conferences there that had there. Yeah. Yeah, you know, whatever venues that we can get, hopefully people will understand and respect them. Some of them might be old. Some might be some historical and have some deeper meaning. Some of it might be just like the Shape Center was a relatively new building, correct? Yeah. So, but
I don't know how new it was. But.
Well, it looked more modern than you know. I'd say maybe built in the 70s. I don't know, but I liked the building.
Okay.
It was nice. Yeah, but wherever we go, you know. I think that the bottom line is we do the work, and because it doesn't make any difference where you go, it's what you do, you know. Because I remember meeting in Chicago, we had a meeting here in Milwaukee. Milwaukee hosted a meeting, Chicago, Kansas City, you know, Flint, Michigan, you know, yeah. It was interesting in Flint because, not Flint, but Lansing, Michigan, because there's a history there with Malcolm, you know, being in Lansing, Michigan before he moved to Milwaukee, and then from Milwaukee to Omaha, Nebraska, and there's markers in there about Malcolm being there in Lansing, Michigan. I felt that was significant for me as somebody who admires, respects, and love Elhaji Malik El-Shabazz or Brother Omawali Malcolm X as a model of the kind of man that we and the kind of people we should strive to be, uncompromising and solid about who we are. You know, I ain't looking for a seat at the table. You know, we need to have a seat at the table. Yeah. You still ain't saying nothing. Yeah, you can have a seat at the table, all right. You know. But, you know, we in our struggles, sister, you know, I know MBUF is a relatively new organization. Would y'all formed in MBUF was formed in 1980?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Formally, yes.
Yeah. But I know many of the people are some old warriors. Conrad.
Yes, there you go.
Conrad, Oba Tashaka, you know, just some old warriors. And creating another voice. And there's no problem with creating another voice, you know. And what we must do is collectively join other voices together, you know, to speak with one voice. And all of us have a part to play in that, you know. I think one of the problems that we have, of course, is that, you know, we're dispersed. We're here, we're there, and so forth. And we need a joining of us together to speak with that one voice. That's the quest. That's what's happening on the continent, you know. So we don't have issues like what happened in the Democratic Republic of Congo, particularly, you know, signing a damn agreement with the United States to get their mineral resources. That's crazy. Man, that's crazy. And, but I look at it like this, my sister. When it really, really happens, when it really comes down, we're saying all these previous contracts and agreements and proclaiming all of them are non and void. It's a new day.
What?
You know? It's a new day. Because number one, y'all owe us. The history proves of what y'all done. So no, you're not to be trusted. It's over. It's over. Right here and now, it's over. You know, and we ain't going to be subjected to anybody's court. There's only one court, the court that we established. You know, a lot of times the things. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to mention, you know, one of the initiatives that the Black United Front has is a Sankofa Study Circle. And we get together, and not only do we talk about the issues or concerns that we have about our people, but we also read together as well in the Sankofa Study Circle. And so we're reading this book currently called Creating a Culture of Repair. One of our sisters, Sister Adelia Mawakia, leads that discussion. And in
who I'm sorry, say that again, Sister who?
Sister Adelia Mawakio out of Kansas City.
Out of Kansas. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She leads that discussion, and it's talking about taking actions on the road to reparations. It's a good book by Robert Turner, and in there it talks about all of this, like, you know, how you owe us simply because, and how they can take that action in the step of reparations. And in my personal commentary on when you say they owe us, and anybody, you know, wants to dispute reparations, mm-hmm. give it to me. I don't care what I do with it, what you think I'm gonna do with it, whether you think I'm gonna do something bad, whatever plans that I have with it, however grand my plans are with it, it's not any of your business how mm-hmm. I'm going to spend the reparations that you're going to give me. Mm-hmm. Give it to me. Give it to my people. You know exactly who you owe it to. You know exactly why you owe it to us.
Right.
And, you know, it's overdue and past due.
Oh, wait.
I applied.
Yeah. Wait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On so many levels. And so, yeah, I applied, you know, the efforts of the group who's working on reparations. Now, I know Baba Mickey is engaged in the reparations activism there in Kansas City, mm-hmm. And so many around the country.
Yes.
And it's sad that we're still having this conversation in 2025 because on these shores and off, they are not wanting to pay African people their reparations.
No. No, they in fact, the arrogance of some Caucasians is we should be happy that we took you out of Africa. You know, you should be happy that you are here in this country and have the opportunity to do this, that, and the other. Even though there's discrimination, racism, and all of that stuff, but still, you should be happy. And then there's some of us who bought into that, that no, well, I'm not African. You know, I've been here now, and my people have been here now for hundreds of years and century after century. So no, I'm not happy. You know, I'm not African. You know, and so no, some don't want reparations. They feel that we have been given, you know, enough. So that's the problem with it. The push and thrust for reparations has to be collective. We all got to say it. Then you got those ADOS people who believe that. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What'd you say?
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought I heard something. So anyway, you got those ADOS people, you know, and of course they only want American Africans to get reparations. You know, not somebody from the Caribbean, definitely not somebody from Africa. You know, now I understand the unfortunate and unique situation that we had suffered here, clearly. But to me, that's why reparations is not about America. Reparations is global. Global. You know, I'm looking at what the European did in colonization. I'm looking at how Europe became rich without no damn resources whatsoever. How y'all get all this damn gold? There ain't no gold mines in Europe. How you get the diamonds? How the Queen, the British, have all these diamonds and so forth on a crown? No. It is all ours. And it is all stolen. So to me, yes. So to me, the biggest push for reparations is not that the United States seeks and gets reparations. Because I know that some argue about Evanston, Illinois. Well, the case in Evanston, Illinois was a clear legal case of redlining. Clear legal case of redlining. And that's why they deserve compensation because of that. You know, so it's really not reparations. They want a legal suit. You know, reparations, I believe, for me, it means that we recognize a serious wrong, a historical wrong, and we're willing to pay for that wrong. And that's not happening. That hasn't happened. And to me, it's not going to happen. And it will only happen when we are united, when we are together to speak with that one voice. So we speak not just to the United States. We speak to Europe. We speak to other countries in South America, the Caribbean, because of all the things that these people have done to us, the millions, the tens and hundreds of millions of people and lives that were lost, and all the wealth that was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a serious challenge for us. But to me, it has to be done because it is justice. It is justice. You know, but a lot of our people want to just forget about it. You know, white folks, they did what they did, and we labored for hundreds of years, and we, you know, under all of that, and then all of the discrimination and racism and exclusion and, you know, being denied opportunity for education, being denied opportunity for equal employment and so forth and so on. But we forgive them. We just want to move forward. No, we don't need reparations. Just let me get a good job. And then Trump come in talking about here's a black job for you. One of these black jobs. Now they're talking about it's going the people who have been crossing over into this country for decades, if not longer, to to do the serious work in agriculture, you know, and they're chasing these people. ISIS chasing these people, and these people are afraid and scared. And so things are going to cost more. Your fruits and vegetables are going to cost more. And then they're talking about, well, those will be the black jobs for us. Yeah, right. So, I mean, this society does not respect African people. That's just like the president of Liberia was at the Oval Office. And, oh, let me just say this, because Brother Mickey Dean sent me this. The Shape Center did have a fire in January. It was this past January that it had a fire. And almost a quarter of a million, almost a quarter million dollars in, almost a quarter of $1 million in damage. Shape Center was founded in 1969, excuse me. The center was founded in 1969. Shape stands for self-help for African people. Self-help for African Shape Center through education. Self-help for African people through education. Deloitte Parker is the founder and executive director. Deloitte Parker. Yep. So, right on. Thank you, Brother Mickey. Appreciate that information and pass that on. Brother Lust, did you get that information?
Bubba, say that again?
Did you get that information?
With regards to the Shape Center?
Yes. Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
have,
I got it.
Okay, good, because they did have a fire.
Thank you.
Oh, you bet.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I tell you. I really appreciate you having taken the time to come on, and I hope that many people who are listening takes the opportunity to get in on the call or on the
absolutely.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say absolutely, and thank you for having me, and it doesn't stop with just. This weekend, if you are not able to make it and you want to know more information about the Black United Front, feel free to, send us your information online at mbuff.net. If you are in one of the cities where we have a chapter, if you're not and you want to join the organization as an individual, we welcome you as well. You are more than welcome to reach out to us. Any of the listeners out there are interested in the National Black United Front, and they want to speak to someone, whether it's today, you can speak to me, and you can call 772-242-3394, and I'd be happy to speak with you about the National Black United Front and the activities that we have going on around the country.
Give them that number again, please.
The number is 772-242-3394.
All right. There it is, family. The opportunity to hook up with some beautiful brothers and sisters in the National Black United Front and help them deal with the issues and the work that needs to be done. Yeah. And you know it. We all know it. You know, a lot of times we say, well, I ain't got the time. Yep. Somebody else will do it. And then the other people say, yeah, somebody else will do it. Next thing you know, nobody does it. Because why? You're always putting it off. Instead of getting involved, getting in, as I said, getting engaged in the rules of engagement. And we need to get engaged. We need to help one another, support one another, trust one another. That's what time it is. Trust one another. I was at a bookstore, my good friend, Brother Kazemde Ajamu, who is the proprietor of the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. His book is out called Trusting the Eyes Behind You. And basically, the book talks about how important trust is in relationships, how important trust is for effectively getting things done, you know. And I know that it's very hard to trust in a society like this. It's very hard to trust when the society perpetuates and promotes individualism, you know, because you don't care about yourself, you know. Trust is necessary and vital for us. So, you know, hopefully that, you know, we will understand that through trust and the respect that we should have, how great of a people we are and how great things can get done. You know, the people in the Sahel, they trust Ibrahim Traoré and Moya and the other brother who's the leaders of Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso. You know, they trust them, you know. Yeah. And their trust is not being betrayed, because those brothers are doing things in a way that things get done. Like I said, I just admire what Ibrahim Traoré is doing, you know, because he's doing stuff in breakneck speed. He ain't playing around. He ain't procrastinating. He's getting it done.
Oh, he's about that business.
That's right. But yes. That's right. But he's about that business, you know. And that's why, too, I pray for his protection. And I pray that, you know, all around him. I mean, he's had probably at least about 20 attempts on his life. 20 attempts. They would love to kill that man, just like they did the brother before him, Thomas Sankara, who was in that same mode and same vein. And they got one of Thomas Sankara's people to go ahead and kill him, you know? And that's what they do. They involve one of us, you know? Just like they sent that Langford, I think his name was Langford, that general, the U.S. general, talking about Ibrahim Traoré just throwing all kind of evil stuff at him, all kind of lies at him to get the people to rally against him and hopefully depose him or even kill him. You know, that's the thing. I don't trust anybody that deals with the U.S., but I trust us. You know, I do. I always have and I always will. I trust us. I love us. You know, and I want us, you know, to begin to love and trust each other so we can build and grow and that we can feel and that we can actualize and begin to deal with the future of our people. Because all these young people, because, you know, if you look, one could argue that if you look at the youth that we have today, I'm once again, my sister, I'm still very optimistic, Sister Brooks. But if you look at the youth of today and how they behave, how the sisters behave, how the brothers behave, you know, it doesn't look good. I grant you that. But I still believe that the spirit of our people and our ancestors, we can overcome this stupidity and this madness and begin to work together. Because everybody,
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, begin to work together. Any last words, my sister, as we close out?
Say that again?
Any last words as we begin to close out?
Yes, I would say, you, especially coming from the National Black United Front, you don't have to join us, but we say join somewhere. Get organized. Get engaged. Get involved. The only way that we can do this is if we do it together.
That's right.
And no one is coming to save us but us.
That's right.
And we have a saying in the National Black United Front, forward ever, backward never.
That's right.
Forward. We have work to do, and let's get it done.
Ashe. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, Sister Brooks. Appreciate you very much. And
you're welcome.
And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow and on Sunday when you moderate the youth program. Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right. Brothers
Thank
and
you.
Sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon
in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esantisana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great weekend. Be safe. Hopefully you can take advantage of the National Black United Front conventions this weekend, that you'll do that. But if not, hey, do what you have to do, but be safe. Peace, family.